Okay, this week is Parashas Vayikra. This week is Hafsaka. Dal Parashas, we get a break. Next week is Parashas Zohar. Then it's Parashas Chodesh, Parashas Para. But this week is Hafsaka. This week we get a little vacation. So we're all on vacation this week. Vayikra Moshe. The word Vayikra begins Chumash Vayikra, Chumash Teres Kohanim. The Chumash of the Karbonos with a small aleph. Small aleph, it should have said Vayikra with a large aleph, but Moshe Rabbeinu in his humility did not want to write the word Vayikra because Vayikra is Lashon Chiba. Rashi tells us Lashon Shem Malachi Hashareis Mesham Shimbo. The Malachi Hashareis speak to each other with the word Vikara Zel Zev Yamar. Moshe Rabbeinu was embarrassed that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him Lashon Chiba. So Moshe wanted to write Vayikra. Just like we have in reference to Bilam. Bilam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Bilam, Vayikar Hashem, El Bilam, Hashem met. Lashon of Nikra, it was just an accident. Nothing important, it wasn't a meaning of endearment. It was not a meaning of Chi, it was just a meaning of happenstance, chance. Moshe Rabbeinu was embarrassed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, Lashon Chiba, so Moshe wanted to minimize the Chiba. Moshe was humbled, so he wrote the word Vayikar with a small aleph, that it should be read, Vayikar, Hashem just met him by accident. So from here, Chazal focus on the Midah of Anava. Here we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav, as it says in the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu Anav Mikol Adam, Asher Hoya Al Pnei Adama, there was no one more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu in this world. Now the question is, what exactly is the humility? What exactly is the limit here that Moshe Rabbeinu is humble? Just because he wrote Al and Vayikra with the small aleph, how does that teach us the nida of Anav of Moshe Rabbeinu? So I saw a very nice idea. I do not remember where I saw this. That this medrash is only this small aleph is only half of the story. There's another aleph. Well, the question is, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu a precise amount of ink to use to write the Sefer Torah. Very precise. It's a very, very, very expensive commodity. Ink, dioi. And if Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Vayikra with a small aleph, what did he do with the extra ink? The extra ink of the small aleph. Where did he compensate? Where did he compensate for the small aleph? And the answer is, there's a word, it's a place in the Torah where Moshe wrote the aleph with a large aleph. A large. Now we don't have this now with Sefer Torah. It's not part of our tradition, but it is cited in the old Svarim. And some of the old Sefer Torah do fulfill this Chazal. The pasuk is in Zeis Habracha, Leilan on Simchas Torah, Ashrecha Yisrael Michamocha. The Aleph of Ashrecha Yisrael used to be, or according to the tradition, is meant to be written with a large Aleph. Are we able to see such a thing? Sefer Torah, Ashrecha Yisrael. That's what it says in the Medrash. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saved on the ink in Vayikra, he used that extra ink to write a large aleph in Ashrecha Yisrael. So this is the true Midah of Anava. There are many people today that are humble. Dharma Dasan, go around, you'll see people, they're very humble, they walk around, they're bent, kafuf, but there's a chesaron in their humility. Because their humility is conditional that everyone else be humble. I'm talking a nothing. I'm only a nothing as long as you're also a nothing. That's also a mila. That's also a madrega. I'm a nothing, but you also are a nothing. Don't go and put your head over me. True another is where you're willing to recognize I'm a nothing and someone else is great. Moshe Rabbeinu made himself into a nothing by saying it's not Vayikra, it's Vayikar, at the expense of Ashrecha Yisrael. Everyone else in Klal Yisrael is Choshev. To have that Midah to be Machshev, other people to make them great at the time when you make yourself into a nothing, that is true humility. To make yourself into a nothing and to make someone else also into a nothing, that's not a kunz. Someone else is great, and you're nothing, that is true anava. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea reveal the difference between the word vayikar and the word vayikra. Vayikar is an accident, just a chance. Vayikra loshen chiba, or there's something significant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something important to say. There is meaning. It's not a chance. It's not an accident. There is a heavy dosage of hashkacha pratis. There is meaning, there is mussar, there is a lesson to be purposed in this meeting. Rashi here in the very beginning says something very interesting. He says that Vayikra el Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elof. We have two words, Vayikra and the word Vayidaber. Why the two words? I'll read you the words of Rashi. Hakol hoylech magia la'oznav v'chol yisholo shamim yochol af lehafsakos. I would think that when Hashem spoke to Moshe, there was a coil that went forth even at the time of hefsek. I don't know what that means exactly. When Hashem was not speaking, Hashem also spoke. Okay, again, I don't know what this means. Af lehafsakos hoysakriya talmuloyma vayidaber lidiber hoysakriya v'loy lehafsakos. Hashem only spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at certain moments in time. But then Hashem stopped. Hashem was very careful not to overdo it, not to speak to Moshe continuously, but to give Moshe Rabbeinu a break. There were hafsakas. Fits very well. This parasha, Parashas Vayikra, is this year is hafsaka. There's a break. There's a hefsek. And Rashi explains why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Moshe Rabbeinu a break? Umo hoyu hafsakos mishamshos litein revach leMoshe, to give him time lehispoinein bein parsha leparsha ubein inyan leinyan. A human being needs time to absorb Torah. If you teach a person a new concept, he needs time to think about it, to take it in, to let it settle, and to understand the depth of what has been taught. Kal v'chomer, if this was true when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, al achas kam v'kama, when one human being speaks to another human being, don't overdo it. If you teach someone a lesson, give the person time to think about before you go forward and teach them something new. Kal v'chomer l'hegit haloy med min ha-hegit, one he learns from him. So over here, Rashi over here is teaching us a very powerful concept. This concept is true throughout the entire Torah, and it comes from this pasuk, Vayikra Vayidaber. Hashem only spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at certain moments in time, and when Hashem saw that Moshe's head was full, Hashem stopped to give Moshe time to reflect, to absorb, to digest the information before he went further. Mefarshim explained that's exactly the difference between Moshe and Bilam. We know that Bilam also was a Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Umos Olam a Navi that was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bilam. To Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared with the word Vayikar. Hashem did not appear to him with the word Vayikra. And Bilam, we don't have the word Vayidaber. And the Mefarshim wanted to explain, and if you look very carefully in Parashas Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never mafsik. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Bilam, Hashem spoke to Bilam continuously. Why? What's the difference? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he used Bilam as a prophet, he didn't care if they understood what he was, they understood the depth of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell them. By the Umos HaOlam, just get the message. They don't have the chiba of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, the chiba demands that not just does Hashem speak to us, Hashem wants us to absorb and digest the message. Whereas to the Umos HaOlam, it's superficial. Hashem has a message to give the Umos HaOlam, but Hashem does not have a desire that the Umos HaOlam should digest, absorb, understand the depth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions. So by the Umos HaOlam, it says Vayikar. Doesn't say Vayikra. The difference between Vayikar and Vayikra is Vayikar lacks love, whereas Vayikra includes love. Where is the love expressed? In the fact that for Klal Yisrael there are hefsukas, there are breaks. There is time to be mavchin ben inyin le'inyin, to understand the deeper meaning of what is being taught and what is happening, whereas to the Umos HaOlam you don't have those hafsakos because there is no chiba, and it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire that they should absorb and understand the depth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message. Okay, that is one idea. Now, if you take this idea a little bit further, then there's another very powerful message. The last pasuk of the previous parasha describes the masos. The last words of the previous parasha are Kianan Hashem al Hamishkan Yomam Ve'esh Tielai Labo Le'enei Chol Beis Yisrael B'chol Masehem. That wherever Klal Yisrael traveled, they were always protected, guided by the Amud Anan and the Amud Esh. And the words of Rashi, very beautiful words, his last words of Rashi, the previous parasha, B'chol maso shal yunaisim, hoya he'onan shechin b'mokam asher yachanu sham. Wherever they traveled, the Shechina was always present. Le'enei kol yisho b'chol maseyem. What happens after we have the word b'chol maseyem? We have a hefsek. Not only do we have a hefsek, we don't just have a hefsek, a parsha, stuma, a small hefsek. We don't have a large hefsek, a parsha, psucha. We have a very large hefsek. We have four complete lines. A very large hefsek between one chumash and another chumash. And then we begin with the word vayikra. And we begin with the musar vayikra el moshe vayidaber. We begin with this concept of chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he speaks to Klal Yisrael, he speaks to them with love. And the love is expressed in the concept of giving us time to reflect, giving us hafsakos, time to digest the lessons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the musar, or the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that is only unique to Klal Yisrael. We take all of this together. The Musar Haskel is that in the Masos, Klal Yisrael throughout history is always traveling. And as we travel, we don't understand why things happen to Klal Yisrael as a nation. And every person in his own personal life is traveling in this world. You travel from the time you're born to the time a person dies. You're also a traveler. You're traveling through time. You're traveling through life. And the person goes through many Masos. And things happen, and it's very difficult to understand why. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? But the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Le'enei chol beis Yisrael, the Shechin is resting. Ki anan Hashem al hamishkon yomam, ve'esh tiya lailabo. As Rashi explains, the Shechina is always there in one form or another. Le'enei chol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. And now we have a hefsek. And the hefsek is, think about it. Every time in your life, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how thick the hester panim is, Hashem is there. And Hashem is there, Hashem is speaking to Klal Yisrael, b'loshon chiba. And you have to have, you have to apply yourself to recognize, to be maven, to be mavrin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, b'chol ma'aseihem, and there's a purpose, there's a message, and there's an experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to learn from in that, in every situation. So these ideas, this halacha of to learn from the hefsakos, it's not a coincidence, it's been taught to us right after Le'enei chol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem, giving us a hefsek, to teach us a musar haskel in life, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there with us in every single one of our journeys, and every single journey that Klal Yisrael goes through in history. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a very nice medrash that says, Vayikra el Moshe, Hado medrash rabba. Vayikra el Moshe, it sounds like a medrash plia. Hashem called to Moshe, Hado hu dechsiv, Haben yaker li Ephraim. So question, all the Farshim asks, what in the world does Haben yaker li Ephraim have to do with the pasuk of Vayikra el Moshe? So the answer is fairly obvious, at least the simple answer is, because the word Vayikra has a small aleph, and the small aleph is trying to tell us, make believe the aleph is not there. All you're left with then is the word Vav Yud Kuf Resh, and Vav Yud Kuf Resh is the same Sharish as Yakir, Yakir Li Ephraim. But what's the connection between Yakir Li, my child Ephraim is precious to me, what's the significance? So many of us are familiar with the Das Zakenim, the Bali Taisus from the Das Zakenim, who explains that Ephraim, when Yosef named his child Ephraim, he was really naming this child after Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham said about himself, "The Anochi Ofar v'Efer, I am Efer. I was meant to be turned into Ash at the time of Nimrod, when Nimrod threw me into the Kivshan HaEsh." And Yitzchak is also called Efer because at the time of the Akedah, Yitzchak was Avraham offered Yitzchak as a carbon. And although Yitzchak was never offered as a carbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I consider it as if you offered Yitzchak before me. And the words of Chazal are, Efrosh shel Yitzchok tzavur lefonav, the ash of Yitzchok is piled in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all generations. So in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, it is as if Avraham went forward, went through with the Akedah, and Yitzchak was offered as an Olah Tamima, and he was transformed into Efer. So we have Efer in reference to Avraham, we have Efer in reference to Yitzchak, Avraham v'enochi off of Efer, the Efer of Yitzchak is Efer shel Yitzchak tzavur lefanav, the Efer, b'loshon Rabbim, is Ephraim. The plural of Efer is Ephraim. Therefore, when Yosef named his child Ephraim, he named him after Avraham and Yitzchak, Efer of Avraham and Efer of Yitzchak. Now, what is the common denominator of these two references to Efer? They both represent the concept of a human sacrifice. Avraham was willing to give up his life in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by throwing himself into the Kivshon HaEsh. Yitzchak was actually offered as a sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a very big difference between the two different types of sacrifices. Avraham willingly gave up his life in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Nimrod was standing, the whole world was watching. Nimrod said, Avraham, do you really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are you willing to, are you going to bow down to me, or are you going to refuse? And if you refuse, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. You have to make a decision. And the whole world is watching. Avraham chose to give up his life to allow himself to be thrown into the Kivshon HaEsh and turn into Efer in order to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Yitzchak, on the other hand, when he gave up his life as a carbon, was willing to give up his life as a carbon, there was no one that was watching. It was a private ceremony. Avraham says to Yitzchak, my son, I have some news. Hashem came to me in a vision and told me that he wants me to sacrifice you as a carbon. Yitzchak didn't, his sacrifice was not a sacrifice that was done on a world stage. No one was watching. It was a private sacrifice. It was beino lebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said that, this is what Hashem wants, this is what Hashem wants. This is the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. The beginning of Chumash Vayikra is all about korbanos. And as the Ramban says, the purpose of a korban is a person, when you offer a korban, you have to visualize that it's you're giving up yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I offer a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you recognize that it should be your blood, it should be your limbs that are being offered on the Mizbeach. Everything that happens to the carbon is really what should happen to the person himself. But being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to give up our lives, He wants us to live Al Kiddush Hashem, not to do Al Kiddush Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to exchange our bodies with an animal. So what is the purpose of a carbon? This is what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that when a person offers a carbon, the person is visualizing that really he's giving up of himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to realize that there are two different types of karbanos. There's a karbon of Avraham, and there are times in life when you're a karbon, when you have to give up like Yitzchak. There are times when you have to sacrifice yourself in front of the whole world. You have to make a statement. You have to do things that are not to your benefit, because it's to the benefit of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it has to be, you have to use yourself as an example for the entire world. But that's not the only type of human sacrifice. There's other times when a person has to recognize that he's giving up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They know, bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one watching. It's just between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a very different type of carbon. Avraham was Efer, and Yitzchak was Efer. But it was very different. Every time a person in life has to make a decision, it fits into one of these two categories. You're either doing it, you're serving in the public, you're serving as an example for other people publicly, or sometimes no one is watching. It's just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's private, and you're giving up of yourself. You're losing out in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's also what a karban is about. These are the two types of karbanos, the two themes that are true throughout the entire Chumash Vayikra. That's why Vayikra opens up with Vayikra, with a small aleph, lashon of Yakir, Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. Every karban has within it two different ideas. A carbon like Avraham and a carbon like Yitzchak. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have a we have a the word another idea in the word vayikra. We'll just go through, run through a couple of things. Just the popular idea. There's a popular machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. What is the purpose of karbanos? Is the Rambam is famous for saying the only reason why Hashem gave us karbanos is an outlet, not to worship avodah zarah. The Klal Yisrael at this point in time were accustomed to avodah zarah in Mitzrayim, and a person has a need to offer sacrifices. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let us do it in a permissible fashion, we're going to come to do it in a forbidden way. So Hashem says, okay, so instead of offering korbanos to the demons, offer sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So from the simple reading of the Rambam, it comes out that that korbanos is nothing more than a kosher outlet to give, to offer sacrifice, concession to the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah wants to offer sacrifices to demons, to strange things. So Hashem gave us a way to satisfy this desire in a permissible fashion by offering sacrifices. But it doesn't seem from the Rambam, at least from a little reading of the Rambam, that sacrifice have any significance within itself. The Ramban strongly, in the strongest terms, rejects this approach of the Ramban, because how then do you explain the carbon of Cain and Hevel? Cain and Hevel offered from his sheep a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or carbon. There was no avodah zarah at the time of Hevel. How do you make sense of Noach? Noach came out of the Teva. Noach, he offered sacrifices. There was no avodah zarah after the Mabul. There was no avodah zarah at that moment in time. So how do you make sense? So it can't just be that sacrifices are a way to reject the zarah. There has to be something more to a sacrifice. And indeed, the Ramban says, like we said before, that a person is giving a sacrifice, he's really giving of himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He has to, it's an exchange for his own neshama, his own blood, his own chelev, his own imurim. It's something which you do to bring yourself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Along comes the Meshech Chochma, and the Meshech Chochma says, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are korbanos, when the Rambam is talking about offering sacrifices, a rejection of the Zara as a kosher outlet, that's the korbanos that we offer on a bama. This that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to offer korbanos and bamos ketanos on a bama, before the beginning of the Mishkan, before the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash, that's an outlet for the Yetzirah. But this, that you offer a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, that is what the Ramban is referring to, a way of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other people come along and they expand upon this idea. They say the person davens, that you daven. You daven every single day. You can either daven in the Beis HaKnesses, or you can daven at home. If you daven at home, that's like davening on a bama. A bama katana, if you have to daven. People don't have a choice all the time. You have no choice. But if you come to the Beis HaKnesses, to 1,000,000, 10 people, and you come to a special place where you daven the proper davening, that's also the difference between the Ramban and the Ramban. When you bring a carbon, do you want to bring the carbon and fulfill the Ramban's type of carbon, the higher level, to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, or do you just want to bring a carbon to be like the Ramban's type of carbon? It's just the lesser of the two evils. It's an outlet. You have to do it because you have to recognize there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not going to propel you to a higher spiritual level. If you want to daven v'yichidus, okay, it's a good thing. That's like bringing a carbon on a bama ketana. A bama ketana is like the Rambam. It's a kosher outlet not to worship idols. But if you want to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you have to come to a higher madrega, to come to the Beis HaKnesses. Now the truth is, I want to suggest that's why we have here the word vayikra. The word vayikra is written with a small aleph, and as we said before, when a letter is written in a small font, it's hinting to us to read the word without that small letter. So instead of reading it vayikra, we would read it vikar. What does vikar mean? It means honor. Now the word vikar is a very complex word. How do I know it's a complex word? Because in the Megillah, we find it being used in different ways. At the beginning of the Megillah, we say, Ahasuerus made a party for 180 days. Laharoi says, Oisher kivoid malchuso, v'yes yikar tiferes gedulah. So he wanted to show off the yikar, the honor, the yikar tiferes gedulah. And then we find it at the end of the Megillah. La'yhudimaisa'oira v'simcha v'sasan v'ikar. V'chazal da'ashin v'ikar elu hatfilin. So we find the word being used at the end and in the beginning. And we find it again in the middle, where Achashverosh sent out letters that v'chol hanoshim yitnu yikar levalehen. And indeed, that word is a very, the first they focus on that word yikar levalehen. What exactly did Achashverosh want when he sent out the letter that they should give yikar levalehen? Because from the beginning of the Megillah and the end of the Megillah, we learn the word yikar has two very different meanings. The yikar of malchus is a superficial honor. No one really respects the king. Everyone in their heart believes, I'm just as good as the king. I'm just as good as all the officers. I'm just as good as the senators. In fact, I'm better. I'm better than them. It's just that. That's what Malchus is. The way the world works is there are certain people that are elected to public office. They're not necessarily any better than me. It's just they got the job. They got the job. They were elected. They are representatives. But they don't have anything. There's nothing really inherently special about them. It's a superficial honor you give to Malchus, Moli Moiro, Ish Esra'el Chaim below. There has to be a structure, there has to be a system put into place where there's certain people who wield power, and everyone else follows the rules, and we give honor to this establishment, Yikar Malchuso. But do I really believe Achashverosh is such a great person? Not likely. People believe maybe he was a chacham, maybe he was a tippish. Even if he's a chacham, there are many chachamim out there. It's just he has power, so we give honor to the malchus. Then there's real yikar. Elu ha-tfilin. What are tfilin? Shem Hashem. Shakai. She'omar le'lomoydai. The Shem Hashem Yitzias Mitzrayim. We give honor. V'rokol ameros ki Shem Hashem nikro lech of your mecha. That's the real deal. The Yikar of Tfilin represents the Shem Hashem, the Shem Hashem Alecha. It's real honor. It's inherent honor. It's intrinsic honor. It's the essence of honor. When Achashverosh sent out letters that v'chol hanoshim yidnu yikar levalehen, there's a debate. What exactly did he mean? Did he mean that the wives should honor their husbands because they bring in? They're the breadwinner. They bring in the parnasa. There's an institution called marriage. And in order that this establishment, this institution should work, the wife has to be submissive towards the husband. Not because the husband has any special value, he's anything special. That's how the system has to work. You have to respect the man. You have to respect the husband, the man of the house. Or maybe the letter was, V'chol hanoshim yitnu yikar levalehen. The women have to recognize that men are superior. Men are stronger. Men are smarter. Men are noble. Men are great. Men, what exactly did Achashverosh mean? There was a debate. Okay, all the talk shows, they were debating this. On, you know, Sunday morning, they were sitting around the table and they were debating this issue. What exactly did the king mean when he said, V'chol hanoshim yidnu yikar levalehen? Does this mean that the king is not a feminist? The meaning is a male chauvinist? He's a racist? Or does this just mean that the king, he says that, listen, there's something called marriage. If you want marriage to work, there are certain rules you have to follow, even though you don't really respect your husbands, but that's the way it goes. The husband says, I want dinner on the table, you better put the dinner on the table. That's the way it is. Do you respect him? Behind his back, you can curse him out. But you have to do what he wants. You have to do what he wants. It's a very big dilemma, because the word yikar goes both ways. Goes both ways. So I want to suggest, along with this machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban, everyone explains that the Rambam doesn't mean to reject the Ramban, even though the Rambam and the Rambam are saying different words. I call Moedim, the Rambam knows from the Ramban, and the Ramban knows from the Rambam. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. There are two different agendas. There are two different reasons why you bring a carbon. Number one, does a person really come close? Does a person really on a madrega to appreciate what a carbon is? That this animal is an exchange? The average person, probably not. It's probably too difficult for every. How can a person come and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the fullest degree that a carbon is what a carbon is meant to be? Every person on a different madrega. For some people, he could come close more, and some people you come close less. But one thing is for sure: by bringing an animal in the Beis Hamikdash as a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though you may not understand what it's all about, but you do recognize Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Don't worship idols. Stay away from the goyim. Stay away from their practices. This truth in the Rambam and this truth in the Ramban. The concept of karbanos is vikar. In vikar, there's a system of malchus. Do you really understand the inner workings of karbanos? You don't understand it. As far as you're concerned, it's Hashem's world. It's Hashem's world. We're limited in understanding Kaddish Baruch Hu. We have to follow the rules whether we like it or not. Bringing karbanos is yikar tiferes malchuso. That's what it. We don't understand. A carbon, who understands a carbon? Today, especially today, we're clueless. They have no hope to understand what a carbon. But that's the way it is. Yikar tiferes malchuso. Hashem wants, we do it. But then there's a higher madrega. If you're a Baal madrega, what a carbon is about, what is a carbon? That's the Ramban. Try to understand what the Ramban means. It's a very high madrega. Oh, la Yehudim ha'isa'oira v'simcha v'sasen v'kar. V'kar elu ha'tfilin. What are the tfilin? Kishem Hashem nikra alecha. Kishem Hashem. This is serious business. This is the real deal. That's also what a karbon is. It is for that reason. Chumash v'yikra. Toras kohanim. Karbonos opens up with a word that is extremely complex. V'kar. Expands honor, dignity, kavod from beginning to end, whether you understand it or not. Depending upon your madrega, there's this room for everyone in the word vikar. Whether you understand what it's about, whether you don't understand about it, you can relate to it because you're under the umbrella of this is yikar teferes malchuso, this is yikar elu hatfilin. It's a catch-all, it is the hakdama to the psugya of karbanos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is the popular idea, the beautiful idea that it used to be a minhag. I saw Rav Baruch Epstein in the Sefer Tosefes Bracha, he actually complains that in his time no one fulfills the minhag. It's brought down in the Tanchuma, opening at Tanchuma, I believe, of Chumash Vayikra, that children, it used to be the custom that children, the first thing they were taught was Vayikra. Okay, they were not taught Bereishis, but the first thing a child was taught Chumash Vayikra. So now only the first pasuk. They do the first pasuk, right? At least they do that. Rabbi Epstein says he has a very nice piece. He writes there that today no one even heard of this. He says no one even heard of such a minhag. And Chaval, this beautiful minhagim from the Shonim Kadmoniyos are all lost and forgotten from us. But it's a Tanchuma. It's a Tanchuma that Yovoi Tehoirim V'yasoik B'Tahara. Let pure children come and be oisek in Yonei Tahara. Korbanos is in Yonei Tahara, and let the pure children come and learn and involve themselves with these things. And it used to be the custom that children, when they were brought to Cheder for the first time, they were taught, before Bereishis, the story of creation, they were taught about Korbanos. Okay, today indeed it's done. Today probably in some of the Haredi Chadorim they teach the first Pasuk. The first Pasuk, and then they go to Bereishis. Then they go to Bereishis. That's not what the Tchum meant, but it's still a token fulfillment of the ancient custom. Now, so the question is why? Why? What is the deeper meaning of Yavoi Tohoyim V'yasek B'Tahara? So let me be mocked in this with a beautiful story from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Someone wanted to change the curriculum that they teach in fifth grade. In fifth grade, most yeshivas, they teach Eilu Metzias. I don't know if they still do it today. I imagine they still do it today. Eilu Metzias. Sometimes I heard some yeshivas do Devon Parakim. What? Hakoyim and Ledir. Okay, so different. It used to be, I think it still is to some degree, they teach Eilu Metzias. That's the first thing you teach. Teaching whatever, whenever they start Haskalah HaGemara. So someone was badgering, harassing Rav Moshe that he wants to change the curriculum. You should teach them brachos, Masechta brachos. So Moshe says, no, you teach them Eilu Metzias because in Eilu Metzias you teach about honesty. You find a lost object in the street, it's not yours. You have to return a lost object. The most important thing to teach a child is to be honest. To teach them about someone else's money. It's not your property. It's not your money. Make sure you give it back to who the rightful owner. You have to instill this in a child's mind, and you'll be teaching him 100 times, 1,000 times over and over all the laws of Ilim Tzios. Hopefully you'll get into his mind. A child's mind is like wet cement. You'll get into his mind the importance of Gezel. Hopefully he'll grow up to be an Erlich person, will not be Nichshol in robbing banks. What?
Even brachas, it says if you eat something without a bracha, you're stealing.
It's not the same. It's not the same. It's more chamor. It's more chamor. Someone's money than Hashem's money. Hashem aretz malah before bracha yimul behegdish and achanami. But it's more chamor. It's more important to know about someone else's money before you know about Hashem's property. So that's what Rav Moshe said. And if Rav Moshe refused, don't tamper with tradition. The truth is, this idea is really why the Tanachum says Yavoi Tov Yavoi V'Tahara. The first to explain this, my idea is because the opens up with the word Adam. Vayikrel Moshe vaydar Hashem elav meoil moilemar daber el b'neishol v'yamar telim Adam. What does Chazal say? Why does the parasha of Kabbalah's Adam with Adam? Adam, just like Adam HaRishon, owned the entire world. He was the Yoresh to the entire world. And everything that he took as a carbon was not Gezel. It was because there was no one to steal from. Everything was Hefker. Everything was his. There was no one but him. So too, from here we learn that a person who brings a carbon from an animal that's not his, it's not a kosher carbon. I think Rashi quotes it, Adam, Kishiyakiv, why does it Adam Lama Nemar Ma Adam Harishon? It's Rashi. Lo Higrev Min HaGozel Shahakol Hoya Sheloi Af Atem Loi Sakriv Min HaGozel. Don't be over Kamanos from Gezel. That's Lina Musar. And that's why it's so important for children to learn. That's the first lesson you teach children. You teach children this lesson of Gezel. It's interesting also to connect this to one of the first Baal HaTurims in Parashat Vayikra is the first three letters. Vayikra El Moshe, Zvav, Aleph, Mem. Those three letters spell not in order is Emo. Who's the one that brings a child to learn? Who's the one that's responsible for the Chinuch HaBanim in an early stage of life? It's a child's mother. The child's mother, Emo. The Emo is the one that's bringing the child to Cheder to learn the Pasuk. Vayikra El Moshe. The mother, the role the mother plays in the Chinuch HaBanim is crucial. Yavoi Tohor V'Yasek B'Tahara can only come through a mother, because only a mother has in her the Midah of Tahara. To a certain degree that the woman, Rabbi Shur, he has a very beautiful piece on this, about the role of a mother in the Chinuch HaBanim, and the role of the mother is mamish right here. This parsha is all about Chinuch HaBanim. The very shorish of Chinuch HaBanim is Vayikra El Moshe, to teach about the Inyan of Adam, Gezel, and that falls upon, that the responsibility falls upon the mother, because the mother, she is the Ikeres Habayis, and it's Merumas in the Baal HaTurim that says here, Imo, the mother is the one who has the Tahara, that has the ability to impart this Tahara into the child. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Should be said before you call the Balayim,
before you get married. But first you have to get married. You have to have a Chol HaNosh immediately you call the Balayim. Once we establish the structure of the home, we know who's in charge. Then we can have children, and then we can have Chinuch HaBanim. All right. Tongue in cheek. Okay, let's now go to the next idea. This is an interesting idea that I saw many of Farshim dwell upon. We have different leaders who commit transgressions. The Kohen HaMashiach. If the Kohen Gadol does an Avera. So if Kohen Gadol is an Avera, it's not like the average Joe who does an Avera. A regular person is an Avera, he brings a Karpat Chatas, a Kivso or a Sira. But when the Kohen Gadol does an Avera, the same Avera that if a Yochid would have done, he has to bring a very expensive carbon that's done with a lot of pomp and ceremony. The brings a par. It begins in Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet, we have four categories of people who sin. We have the Kohen Gadol who sins. And then we have the Tzibur, which really means the Sanhedrin. When the Sanhedrin gives permission for the Tzibur, for Klal Yisrael to do an Avera, and the majority of Klal Yisrael does an Avera with the permission of Beis Din. And then we have the category of when the Melech, the Nasi, when the Melech does an Avera. And then finally we get to the category where the average guy, the average person sins. So we have four categories of individuals who sin. the Kohen Gadol, the Tzibur, the Melech, and then the regular Yachid. Now when the Melech, when the Kohen Gadol and the Tzibur sins, they bring a special carbon, they bring a pow. It's not a kivso, a seira. The nasi brings a sor. Let's not discuss the nasi, but let's discuss the first two categories, the Kohen Gadol and the Tzibur. They bring a par, and the par, the avoda of the par, is similar to the avoda of the par of Yom HaKippurim. Just like on Yom Kippur, you sprinkle the blood towards the paroches, and you sprinkle the blood on the mizbech, hazav, the four corners and the top of the mizbech. Likewise, the par of the Kohen Gadol and the par of the Tzibur is blood is sprinkled towards the paroches and sprinkled on the surface of the Mizbech. It's not like Yom Kippur, where Yom Kippur you go inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This par, you don't go inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But there is an interesting discrepancy in how the Torah describes the sprinkling that's done for the Kohen Gadol and for the Tzibur. Now let me read you the words. It's an interesting diyuk, and I think there's something very deep, something very interesting that we can discuss. Okay, it's in Perek Dalet, the beginning of Perek Dalet. It first opens up with a general description. If a person does not there. Okay, so it goes on to say, who sinned? Who is the sinner? First item on the list. Im ha-koyhein ha-moshiach yechetahu. The Kohen Gadol sins. Okay, we got it. We got trouble. So what does he do? So he brings a special carbon, the par. The toval ha-koyheines etzbo ba-adam v'hizam adam shev upamim lifnei Hashem. He sprinkles the blood of the par towards the paroches. Lifnei Hashem el penei paroches ha-koydesh. He sprinkles the blood towards the paroches that's mavil between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodesh. Okay, very good. And then it goes on what you do with it, how you cut up the animal, the imurim, so on and so forth. Okay, let's jump down to pasuk yud gimel. Pasuk yud gimel, next item on the list. V'im kol adas Yisrael. The majority of Klal Yisrael sins. There's a new exotic dish, a new restaurant opens up, and the Sanhedrin HaGadol gives a hechsher. And the whole Klal Yisrael sees in the newspaper, wow, look at this new restaurant, great deal, good price, they all go down. And then a couple of weeks later, it's a big scandal that it was not kosher. They were serving chalef. The reason why it was so good, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true, they were serving chalef. Who gave the hechsher? The Sanhedrin HaGadol. They were fooled. They made a mistake in halacha. They didn't know what chalev is. They made a mistake. Whatever the case is. Okay, fine. Vim kol adas shol yishku v'nelam dover me'ini hakahol v'yos achas mikol mitzah shema shelos yosen v'yashemu. Oh, we got trouble. We got trouble. So you don't bring, we don't tell the whole Klal Yisrael to bring, everyone lines up and you bring 6 million kivsos. You bring a par. It's the big ceremony. Pomp and ceremony, bring a par, just like Yom Kippur, just like the Kohen Gadol, same thing. The Hevi HaKoyen HaMoshiach, he represents Klal Yisrael, Midam HaPar, same thing. But here there's an interesting difference. Min Adam Yitain Al Karnois HaMizvotovel HaKoyen Etzvot Min Adam V'Yizo Sheva Pomim Lefnei Hashem El Pnei HaParoches. Wait, what happened to the word Kodesh? Why is it when the Kohen Gadol sins on a personal level, the Pasuk says that when he sprinkles the blood, we call the paroches HaKodesh. And here when the Tzibur sins at the direction of the Sanhedrin, it says the paroches. What happened to the word Kodesh? The word is missing. What's going on?
Rashi answers it.
What?
Rashi answers it.
Oh, I don't know the Rashi. What does Rashi say? Pasuk Yizayin Pnei Parochas. L'malu hu oimer se Pnei Parochas HaKodesh. Moshe l'melch shesorcha olav medina im uat ha-sorcha pamal yishlom eskayemes im kula sorcha in pamal yishlom eskayemes av kan kishachot ha-koy v'shiach adayin Hashem kedusha. When one person, Rashi answers, when one person sins, so the kedusha is still there. The kedusha, since only one person sins, so we know the kedusha is not the problem. When the Klal Yisrael sins, the kedusha has the part. So Rashi says a beautiful idea that when the tzibur, the majority of the tzibur sins, there's a pegima in the kedusha, and that's why the word kodesh is not mentioned. So shama dani mokam shama kulam chashom the stal ka kedusha. Okay, that's what Rashi. So a lot of the darshanim they pick up on this Rashi, and they like to supplement Rashi. Rashi is the ikar, of course. They like to give other Chidushim to explain the difference. So I want to suggest another reason why the word is missing. There are two types of sins. Sometimes most sins that we commit are because we bring too much defilement into our lives. We nichshol in averos. We're in the wrong place at the wrong time. We're doing the wrong thing. We contaminate ourselves. But sometimes people sin l'shem shemayim. They're extremists. They go too far. They become too religious. They go overboard. And going overboard is also a sin. If you're not on the madrega to do certain things, so if you go to an extreme is not right. If you're not cut out to sit and learn the whole day, you shouldn't be sitting and learning the whole day. You should be making a parnasa. You shouldn't be a tircha. You shouldn't be a burden on someone else. Right? So there are different types of sins. You can sin in both ways. You can sin going the negative, or you can sin where you're too religious. You can be an extremist. You gotta be very careful. A Kohen Gadol. Kohen, the Kohen Mashiach. We're not dealing over here with an ordinary person. We're dealing over here with the Kohen Gadol, anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. He wears the V'tumim. He wears the tzitz. What type of sins does he have the tendency to do? It's not likely his sins will sin. It's possible he'll be nichshol. He'll do something. He'll do an aver. He'll speak lashon hara. He will. He'll eat non-kosher food. He'll not be nizer in shmir asenai. It's very possible. It's a human being, but it's more likely that a person that has risen to the level of being the Kohen Gadol, his type of sins are going to be sins where he's going to be an extremist. He's going to go too far, too religious. And it's not his place. Look, we find this, we learn Uziyahu. He was the Melech, and he said, he was a very, very great tzaddik. He grew up in the Beis HaMikdash, he grew up, and he said, you know what? I'm going to bring Ketores. He knew Kol HaTarakula, he brought a million rayos that a Melech is allowed to bring Ketores. You're not allowed to bring Ketores. You're not only a Kohen. What are you bringing Ketores? He made a mistake. He made a mistake in going to the extreme of Kedusha. You're not allowed to bring Ketores. That's the way it is. The Kohen Gadol has a tendency, when he does an Avera, it's likely his mistake is going to be going too far in Kedusha. But the average person in Klal Yisrael, when they do an Avera, the average person in Klal Yisrael, they're not interested in bringing Ketores. They're interested in eating. They're interested in speaking Lashon Hara. They're interested in doing things which they should not be doing. What is the Parochas? The Parochas is Mavdil Bein HaKodesh or Bein HaKodesh HaKadoshim. It's Mavdil between a higher level of Kedusha and a lower level of Kedusha. The Parochas has two dinim. The Parochas, on one hand, It separates. The chulin stops here. Past this point, past this line, this barrier, you're entering into a domain that's kodesh kodashim. That's one function of the parochas. But the parochas also says that the kodesh hakodashim stops here, and the kedusha does not extend to the side that's chol. The parochas has tzvei dinim. There are two dinim in the parochas. It stops the chulin from going further, and also stops the kedusha from going to a place where it doesn't belong. When the Kohen Gadol sins, what was he pagining? He has to sprinkle the blood towards the parochas. What is the parochas? It's mavel between the kodesh hakodashim and the kodesh. It's mavel between the kodesh l'chol, pretty much. Relatively speaking, the kodesh hakodashim is chol relative to the to kedusha. His mistake is his poigem in the kodesh. He tried to take too much of the kodesh hakodashim into the mundane world. The pegima was not just on the parochas; it was the parochas hakodesh. He is standing inside the kodesh hakodashim, on the side of the parochas that is kodesh hakodashim, and was trying to go to an extreme and take that kedushin, the kodesh hakodashim, and bring it to a place that it doesn't belong. Whereas a Yisrael, when the Klal Yisrael, when they do averos, when they're poigim in Kedusha, where are they poigim? They're poigim on the other side of the parochas. On the side of the parochas, that's chol, that's not kodesh. Because their mistake was, is that they did not bring enough Kedusha into the world of chulin. So what I'm trying to say is that you're sprinkling blood on the parochas. In one place we call the parochas HaKodesh. And the other place we call the parochas just an ordinary parochas. The truth is the parochas is both. The parochas has two sides. The parochas has one side that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the parochas has a side that's in Chol. The Kohen Gadol, when he sins, what was his sin? The Kohen Gadol is Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim part, and when he's sinning, he was poigim in the part of the parochas that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim part, because he breached that barrier. He did things, it's more likely that his mistake was going to the extreme of bringing Ketores when you shouldn't bring Ketores. He breached the barrier of where the Kodesh HaKadoshim should have ended. Don't do this. Don't take that Kedusha and bring it elsewhere. Whereas the Yisrael, he breached the Parochas on the other side, the side that's not Kodesh, the side that's Chol, because he should have, the mistake was, he should have been able to draw from the Kedusha that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the other side and bring in more Kedusha and not be Nichshol and do Averos and bring things down. Okay, that is an idea. That concludes that idea. Okay, just to conclude. Okay, Lenoto, two very short things to conclude. One thing I found very nice in the sefer of Rabbi Shane. I've got this first name. One of the Rosh Yeshiva in Staten Island has a very interesting observation. In the Torah, there are a series of korbanos that are only brought by a poor man. In this week's parasha, the carbon oil of the Yoreid, a whole series of persons, he swears falsely, he denies knowing that he has in his possession the Pikadon, different examples of Shavua and Tumas Mikdash Vikodashav, and there are different madrigals. If you're wealthy, you bring an animal. If you're poor, you bring a bird. So if you're very poor, you bring a mincha. That's one. So there's it's called oil of the Yoreid. It all depends on your financial status. Then there's another example, parashas Tazria. A Yoledes, a woman brings, when she gives birth, she brings a series of components. If she's wealthy, when she's wealthy, she brings an animal. If she's poor, she brings birds. And the third example is a Mitzora. A Mitzora is wealthy, brings animals. The Mitzora is poor, the Mitzora brings birds. So what's fascinating is, in all of these examples, all of the examples where the Torah discusses, if someone cannot afford to bring the higher level, and due to his financial status, and is forced to bring a carbon that's not as elaborate, the trop, the Taneh HaNikra, is always Zarka Munach Segol. Zarka means to throw, Munach means its position, Segol means a treasure. Vimlo Sasig Yodoy Dese. So the trop is different variations. It's always all of the examples of the oil of Yar. Whenever you're going down to Madreg, it always says the trop is Zarka Munach Segel. So he explains the word Munach Segel means it's put there a treasure. A poor man thinks, Nebuch, I'm a poor man, I suffer poverty. I can't compete with the Joneses. I can't compete with the wealthy. So he feels bad. The Torah, the Talmud, the Masoreh is telling the poor man, don't feel bad. Munach, in your carbon that you're bringing, whether it's a mincha, whether it's birds, it's not as elaborate, it's munach, it's position, it's in that carbon, segol, segula, there's something very special. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also takes into account your feelings. Just like we have, the only time it says the word nefesh is by the mincha of an ani. Chazal say, an ani, when he brings a carbon, it's as if he's giving his nesham. He has nothing else. What does he have? An ani, a rich man, has assets. So he brings a carbon, big deal, so I brought an animal. An ani, he brings a mincha. Nefesh, it says the word nefesh, the same idea. An ani, when he doesn't have, he cannot afford to bring an elaborate carbon, he's reduced to poverty, he has to bring something which is less. Hashem says, munach segol. It's, there's something special here. You can't afford it, and you still do it. You bring it, and you feel the pain of your poverty, and despite this, you come forward to bring a korban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts it with a satisfaction, as if there's something very special has been presented to Hashem. Okay, one last idea, this is Chassidus Shminuk. At the end of this week's parasha, anyone ever see this minuk? At the end of this week's parasha, when they conclude the last words of the parasha, the chib erlov akoyim lifnei Hashem v'nislach loy alachas mikol asher yase la'ashma va. So when the Balkari finishes la'ashma va, everyone breaks out in song. You ever hear this before? You gotta go to a real chassidish shtivel. They all break out in song and they sing a nigun to the words lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hamaasim Bayom Hashvi'i. Because the Rosh Teva Sof La'ashma Va, no one ever heard this before? La'ashma Va, I used to lay in, there was a Chassid Shagabai. And every time I said La'ashma Va, he always would say, he wouldn't sing, he would always say, Lokel Asher Shavas, because it's Rosh Tevas. Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hamaasim Bayom Hashvi'i. You break out in song and everyone sings together these words. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why were you singing these words? So someone said because you don't want to end on a bad note. Right? It's not nice because the parasha concludes with guilt. La'ashma, you'll receive atonement for your guilt, for the sin which you're guilty of committing. So you don't want to have an end of a bad note. So you mahapech into something that's more pleasant. But I think there's another more powerful drush of why you conclude. Because it's very interesting. This parasha is very weird to find the parasha where there's no part of the parasha that you can fulfill on Shabbos. Go through all the parashas. Bereishis. You have mamash, ma'aseh bereishis. There are lessons. There are lessons. There's musar. There are every parasha, in some way, there's something practical you can implement after. Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah. It's the Ikar Talmud Torah. You go to shul, they lay in the parasha. Wow! I didn't know it said that in the Torah. I thought it only said the Ten Commandments. It actually says something else. There's a new mitzvah I never heard of. Wow, I didn't, the Balkari, he said this very interesting thing. I have to go home and I have to change my life. When you leave shul, Shabbos, Parashas Vayikra, what could you possibly do on Shabbos? All of the korbanos in Parashas, there are 11 korbanos in Parashas Vayikra, cannot be offered on Shabbos. It's all about korbanos. It's not just korbanos. There's no tamid shel shachar. There's no tamid shel ben harbayim. There's no musafim. It's just sin offerings, voluntary offerings, oila, shlamim, the koyin sins and individual sins, asham. There's nothing that you can actually put into practice on Shabbos. But you don't pray for your private needs. You don't know for erlos. The tefillah on Shabbos is different. You don't say slach lanu. Most of the korbanos here are kaparah korbanos. They're atonement, and even the oil is also mechapar hira avera. These are voluntary offerings. These only the musaf and the tefillahs that we say are not here. They're parshas Pinchas, parshas Tetzave, parshas Pinchas. This is not what this parsha is about. This is a very rare parsha. Go through all parshas of the Torah. Every parasha kamat is something that you can put into practice at that very moment. You walk away from the bima. Wow, a new thing. I didn't know this. I got to do this. I got to put this into practice right now. Parashas Vayikra, there's nothing you can put into practice right now. It's very nice. Tomorrow I'll bring korbanos, but not today. The Mela, when the parasha is over, Lokel, you have to recognize, Lokel, that's why it's a time. You can make out of this what you want. You can finake whatever you want to say. You can rejoice. Baruch Hashem. Today is a day when we don't have to do anything exactly. Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hamasim Bayom Hashvi. Today we have Hafsaka. We don't have to do anything. Tomorrow we'll worry about our sins. Not today. It's Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hamasim Bayom Hashvi. We can just rejoice in the Shabbos itself. We don't have to put anything new into action. Okay, obviously I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but there is some truth to it, and there's something that you can pick up on. Have a wonderful Shabbos.